Bless you. When someone sneezes, we say, bless you. Why? Why do we do that? What do we mean when we say to someone, bless you? Well, maybe it's just an automatic response, but why? Why do we say this? Literally, when we say bless you, we're praying that nothing bad's going to happen to the person. But does it have further meaning? After all, we don't just bless people. Here in this church, we bless backpacks, and we bless candles, and all kinds of things. So blessing can mean setting something aside or someone aside for holy use, such that nothing bad will interfere with the execution of that holy use or holy vocation. We also, you might have noticed, bless God. We have prayers and scriptures that start with, blessed are you, O Lord our God. So, blessing also acknowledges holiness. In this case, the holiness of God, or in others, the holiness of the person or thing, because its intended use is for holy purposes, to be used in whatever way God has intended for that thing or that person to be used. So perhaps that it's the person not be ill in order that they may fulfill God's holy purpose for them, or that nothing bad happens to them so that they can continue to fulfill in their lives what God has intended for them. And that's with our English word, blessed. The original Greek word in the Bible that we translate as blessed in Jesus's Beatitudes in this Sermon on the Mount, that word is makarios. There's your Greek lesson for the day. Makarios, which means congratulations. I guess that makes some sense because we would say congratulations to lucky people and call people who are blessed to have won the lottery or been born with a silver spoon in their mouth or something like that. Congratulations to those who have been so blessed that they don't ever have to worry about not having enough. So Jesus says, congratulations, blessed are kinds of people that we might not want to say congratulations to. You're blessed if you're poor or sad or bullied or victims of injustice. Or maybe it explains it more if we listen to what St. Paul says. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved is the power of God. And Jesus, in his suffering and cross, are the sine qua non illustration of the blessedness of being despised and rejected. But that's not the way the world works, which is why St. Paul goes on to say that the whole Christian story is foolishness to those who don't get it. And note to any of us who might be feeling a bit smug, it's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit that those of us who get it, get it. From a human point of view, what Jesus says doesn't make any sense. But this gift of faith, faith that God knows what God is doing, that gift comes with a vision for the world, a vision that the world doesn't get. And it's to realize that vision for the world that the Holy Spirit also gives us the call to live so that others who don't get it will receive that blessing too. The Spirit calls us to be merciful, forgiving when the law does not command it, to be pure in our motives and intentions, putting aside self-interest. It calls us to do those things that make for peace, to be the first to stop fighting. It calls us to be willing to accept the consequences of doing the right thing. And then Jesus says that those who live this way are to be congratulated, because their reward is great in heaven. So what are you imagining as your reward? Endless entertainment? Favorite foods without consequences? Laughing and playing with your friends and loved ones? Or maybe you think that having a great reward would mean being closer to the throne of God, better seating at the heavenly banquet, more jewels in your crown. But according to Jesus, the greatest reward that God can give you is to have the same relationship with God that Jesus does. Having all these behaviors that Jesus describes in his sermon, having all those behaviors aligns you with God's purposes and then brings you into that closer relationship, which is the reward and gift of God. As the philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the reward of a thing well done is having done it. You get whatever reward, whatever relationship with God that you desire. Jesus promises that you will get the relationship with God that you want, that you demonstrate a desire for in how you live. The reward is in the now, the kingdom of heaven that exists in the presence of Jesus right now. Jesus, who came saying, "The kingdom of heaven has drawn near in me." You can't earn closeness to Jesus. You can't buy it. As our prophet Micah said, "With what shall I come before the Lord? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Those sound like behaviors to me, and the people that Micah was talking to were disappointing God in not living up to those. And Micah is talking to us, because we don't either. Now, you don't want to disappoint someone with whom you have a strong relationship. Think about that for a moment. You don't want to disappoint them. You try and live up to their expectations. God's disappointment is voiced, as Micah continues, with God's reproaches. Did you hear those? "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery and sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now that you may know the saving acts of the Lord." And you and I, people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and know the saving acts of the Lord for you yourself, we know from the teaching of Jesus what the Lord requires of us. Blessed are you, Jesus says, when you exhibit these behaviors that come with being God's people. Blessed are you when you have a holy attitude toward life that's expressed in your actions. Your reward is that you are more like God, or rather that God has blessed you by setting you apart for holiness, which means that you have been chosen for closeness to God. It does not mean that you get a place or a better place in heaven, but just that you are more aware of the joy in Jesus and live in a better place now. And it's just logical. The more you behave in a godly manner, the more God is made known to you and God's purposes become apparent to you, and the more the world is made known of God's love through you. This Lent, we here at Advent are going to have the opportunity in our midweek worship to explore more in depth what each of those Beatitudes mean in our everyday lives. But meanwhile, congratulations! You have already been blessed by God's love and total acceptance. And the Holy Spirit gives you a chance to show that in your lives whenever you choose to follow the leading of that Spirit. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.